today is Saturday, the 7th of October 2023, and we are gathered here for the 102nd session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Panthe Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero representing Nissanawane Forest Monastery arriving into today's session, and we would like to welcome Panthe with great respect to today's session. Furthermore, I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through Zoom and also through the live stream over Facebook from Satipatthala Foundation. Our program will run with a commencement through the in-session practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness and based on based on a particular topic. I cannot recall the topic from the poster here today. Apologies for that. And then we will move on to the question and answer session, and we will then wrap up the program. So I would like to invite Venerable Panthe to commence with the in-session practice for today. Over to Panthe. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. Today we can start the program with a mindful sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that you are seated in a comfortable manner. Adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes and pay attention to the present moment. Simply be aware and notice what is happening in the present moment. When you pay attention like this, you may notice various things happening in the present moment. You may feel the body, maybe the breath. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Again, it goes in, comes out. Time to time, various other things might appear. Surrounding sounds come and go. Various memories, thoughts, inner chatter might appear. But you don't have to fight them, just let them come and go freely while you being aware that you are seated, while you being aware that you are breathing. Some of you might feel some friction in your mind, or maybe irritations. But it's okay to feel them. It's okay that you feel friction. It's okay that you feel these irritations in your mind. Just allow them to occupy space in your mind.
Okay, now you can open your eyes again.
So that's just probably like 10 minutes
to do a mindful sitting session, just to give an idea how to practice. So you can practice on your own. You have to put some time every day,
at least like 15-20 minutes of mindful sitting. Try to do the in this manner. When you do it, then you'll get the real idea of the practice. With that, Namanta, that you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for that session. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness based on inner chatter and turmoil coming up. And I would like to invite Bhante again for the talk on inner chatter and turmoil as today's topic. Over to Bhante again, much merits.
Okay, everyone,
today we are starting a new topic. So we'll be covering this topic today and the next week.
2 weeks we'll take for this topic. In order to get an idea about the topic, let me mention something. Let's say if you are possessed
by an entity, if you are possessed by this entity for a long time,
then you might take this possessing entity to be yourself. Because as far as you know, you are possessed by this entity. You have been possessed by this entity. So if you don't know that you are possessed, if you don't know there is a better reality than this, then it's natural you take this possessing entity to be yourself, right? So that's what happens with our mind. Our mind is like possessed by an entity, but we don't know that there is a better reality. We don't know that there is a better state of our mind. Because of this possessing, we take this possessing entity to be ourselves. We take it as ourselves. We deal with it. We accept it to be ours. So that's what happens with our mind. When you do your thing,
when you work, when you do your family matters, when you deal with the society, you feel a lot of friction in your mind. Sometimes there is so many things in your head. So many voices are there in your head. It feels like
it is too crowded. It feels like you can't catch a breath. It feels like you are among so many people and all of them trying to express themselves again and again. So this is what happens in our head or in our mind. We feel different voices. We feel friction. We feel this inner chatter. We feel this inner turmoil
in our mind. But we feel this as far as we can remember. We have been feeling this. So it's natural that you take this status as the natural state of your mind. You feel that this is
natural to my mind.
This is how my mind is. This is my reality. That's how you think.
Right?
So that's the idea when it comes to our mind. But the mindfulness practice, it is giving us a promise.
The practice is saying us, the practice is promising us that there is a better reality in this world. There is a much better status of your mind. The practice tells us that you are currently being possessed. You are possessed by an entity
and you don't know that you are possessed. as far as you can remember, you have been possessed by this entity. So the practice is suggesting us, practice is telling us that there is a better status that you can achieve.
There is a better way that you
can experience this world. So that's the idea behind our practice. That's why we continue with mindfulness. And when we continue, initially when we introduce mindfulness to somebody,
we have to tell them that your mind is mostly unconscious. Or your mind is mostly unmindful.
Some of you might think that the mind is shifting between consciousness and unconsciousness, or between mindfulness and unmindfulness.
But actually, when
we think about somebody's life, when we think about the way they live, most of the time, they have different degrees of unconsciousness, or they have different degrees of
unmindfulness. They move in between these different states.
And all of them, we can say, majority of the time, they are unmindfulness. Sometimes we are in a deep unconscious state. We don't know what is happening. We are
totally lost in something.
Right?
So we say that's a deep level of unmindfulness. Sometimes you are slightly lost. Sometimes you are slightly thinking about something, lost in your mind. But it is not a deep state of unconsciousness. Instead, it is like a lower level of unconsciousness. So this way we can feel our mind is moving in between these different states. Most of them, they are different levels of unconsciousness. And when the problems come, you can feel so much pressure inside you. When the problems come, you can feel so much friction inside you. And when you feel so much pressure, when you feel so much friction, you tend to move into more and more deeper levels of unconsciousness. That's why most people, they can't bear this pain. They would prefer going for alcohol. They need something to forget about these problems. They need something to get rid of this pressure or tension. Right? So this way, in a way, when we feel this friction, when we feel this pressure, our mind tends to move into more and more deeper levels of unconsciousness. That's why we want to consume drugs, alcohol, or we want some other thing to distract ourselves. We go after various things to distract ourselves, not only drugs, not only alcohol, but there are various other ways. So in a way, your mind moves more and more deeper into the unconsciousness or unmindfulness. So this is the behavior of the worldly mind. And when it comes to the practice, we try to introduce a different state of mind. We try to introduce mindfulness instead of the unmindfulness. We try to introduce consciousness instead of the unconsciousness. That's what we do. Again and again, we'll tell them, you can have this quality in your mind. You can try and practice this quality in your mind. That's what we call the basic instruction. For the newcomers, for the beginners, we give them some guidelines. We show them some videos. Those videos, those guidelines, you can find some information about the mindfulness practice, how to do mindful walking, how to do mindful sitting. You can find some details there. Although you go through them, although you read those instructions, still you don't know what mindfulness truly is, because you haven't experienced it. It's only by book knowledge that you are getting this idea. So when you get this idea, if you start your practice, let's say every day like 10-15 minutes of mindful walking, 10-15 minutes of mindful sitting, that way if you continue for a few days, then you start to get the real idea of this practice and what mindfulness is. Although you listen to words, you can't really understand it because you haven't experienced. You haven't experienced mindfulness in your mind. Just by the words, you are getting the idea. But when you practice only, you get the real experience. So when you practice, it is not the mindfulness that I am preaching. Instead, it's your own unique experience. It's your own unique practice. It's your own unique mindfulness that you are experiencing. That's why we discuss our experiences, because it's not the same. It differs to other people. Your experience is unique to you. So you can see, although we tell it in words, when you hear that word, when you hear about the practice, and when you start your practice, it becomes your own. It is not the mindfulness that was on the book. It's not the mindfulness that was explained in the video. Instead, now it is your own unique mindfulness. So based on your own experience, you feel different things. You feel that this is my experience while walking. This is my experience while sitting. And this is how I practiced my day-to-day mindfulness. So this way, we are introducing consciousness to your mind. Or we are introducing the ability to be conscious.
The ability to be mindful. Maybe for the very first time in your entire life, you are experiencing this. Or you are experiencing this quality. You have this quality in your mind to observe things without getting carried away by them. It's like a third party view.
A third person view. That type of observation you can do about the things that are happening. So this way, we little by little introduce mindfulness to your day-to-day life. We little by little introduce mindful sitting and mindful walking. And when you do this, you have a common or frequent complaint. Usually newcomers, beginners, they have this complaint. What is the complaint? That your mind is more and more unmindful. You can't be mindful. You can't be conscious. You remember all the things. You start to go crazy in your mind. It feels like the unmindfulness has even increased in power. The unconsciousness has increased in power. That's how you feel. But actually, what is happening is that you are starting to notice, you are starting to observe how unconscious your mind has been. That observation is really valuable. That observation is really important. Although it is difficult, although it is not easy, it's good that you know that your mind is unconscious most of the time. It is lost in various things. The inner talk or the inner chatter is there. you feel this constant friction in you. Right? So these are observations for a mindful practitioner. Earlier, you have been ignorant towards them. Now you start to feel them more and more. So for a beginner, we have to tell them this is a good thing. This is part of your practice. Earlier also you had these difficulties. Earlier also this was the same status of your mind.
But now only you are noticing it.
Now
only you are observing it. Thanks to mindfulness, you are observing. Thanks to this ability, you are observing. You feel
that there is inner chatter, inner talk.
Sometimes there is inner turmoil. Sometimes you feel friction, difficulty in your mind. So these qualities, it's valuable that you start observing. Maybe some of you, majority of the day, you feel this background friction that's there. Or this turmoil that's there.
You are continuously running with some kind of a friction
in the background. You do whatever things on top of that. You go to work with that friction. You deal with your family matters with that friction. You do your other things with that friction. That way, you are continuing. That way, you are running.
Still, that observation is really important because now you start to see
how
the status of this mind.
Some of the
time you are unmindfulness.
Some of the time you are unconscious. But that's
fine.
Again and again, just continue with your observation. It's only once in a while that you are mindful. Throughout the day,
when you work, when you deal with your family matters, most of the time you are unconscious. Most of the time you are unmindful.
You are moving in between different degrees of unmindfulness.
You are moving in between different degrees of unconsciousness.
That's fine. Again
and again, every now and then, try to see,
what am I doing? Okay, I'm having a meal. Or I am walking somewhere. Or I am brushing my teeth. So that way, little by little, you try to improve your mindfulness. You try to improve consciousness.
So this is the way we say bite-sized pieces of mindfulness. Every now and then you take a small piece, a bite-sized piece. It doesn't have to be a huge chunk. Instead, a bite-sized piece of mindfulness you are taking. Every now and then you are taking. So that way, you start your mindfulness practice. You try to develop this quality in your mind. And when you try to develop it, it's natural that you start to feel more and more friction.
When the problems come, you feel them very closely.
When the friction is there, you feel the friction all the time. It is like this humming sound in your mind. Or it is like this ringing sound in your mind. Continuously, this humming sound is there. Continuously, this ringing is there. That friction is continuing. Right? So you are always running with this friction. But it's a good thing that you are noticing it. It's a good thing that you are observing it, right? So that's the way of the practice. When you start practicing mindfulness, when the troubles come, when the friction come, you start to feel them more closely, right? So that's how the practice is. But you have to be willing to feel this friction. You have to allow this friction to occupy a space in your mind. Time to time, this inner chatter is there. You feel like various voices are there in your head. Some of you, them, it feels like the voices are yours. some of them it feels like the voices are somebody else's. Now there was this foreigner practicing mindfulness or the meditation here for a while, and he was saying that in meditation I feel that there is this inner chatter. I am having a discussion with somebody, but I don't know this person. And it's not something that happened in the past. So he is wondering, he is doubting what this is. He is asking whether this may happen in the future. Right? So that's his question. Is it a sign? Is it a future sign? He is asking. But we have to tell them that's the nature of this mind. You don't have to find a reasoning for it. Instead, due to past causes, these things are happening. They have their own past causes. They have their unique reasoning. So you don't have to figure out the reasoning. Instead, just observe that there is this inner chatter. Instead, this just observe that there is this inner turmoil. Some of the voices you recognize. Some of them you feel that they are yours. But some of the voices are totally foreign. Some of them you don't feel like they are yours. And many people are misled. They think that these are some kind of outside entities that's trying to possess them. That's our idea. Even in today's topic, we are saying it's like that you are possessed by an entity. You don't know a reality different to this entity. So you consider this possessing entity to be yours. Right? Similarly, when you practice mindfulness, you feel like this outside possessing entity is there. They are trying to control my mind. They are trying to influence my mind. And some of them, they go finding witch doctors, you know, trying to solve this, trying to help them. But that's not the way. Instead, know that these things are happening because of a past cause. There is past reasoning for them. You don't have to figure out the reasoning. You don't have to go after the reasoning. You don't have to sort out what is the reasoning. Instead, just allow these things to
occupy space in your mind. Observe these things mindfully. When you observe these things mindfully, you realize they come, they appear,
they tell their story, then they go away. Again, something else might appear. With their unique timing, something else might appear. And that will tell its own unique story. Then after a while, that too will go away. Sometimes various images might come. Images might come, various incidents. Some of them you feel there is meaning. Some of them you don't know what the meaning is.
So these things come and go.
Still, you just allow them to occupy space in your mind while knowing that you are walking, while knowing that you are seated. So this way, gradually, we are allowing these things to come and go. In a way, with time, you feel this inner chatter is subsiding. With time, you feel this inner turmoil is subsiding. With the repetitive practice only, you feel this. Initially, you feel a lot of friction. Even in practice, you feel a lot of friction is there. So much trouble is there. So many difficulties are there. But when you continue for a while, when you continue for a few weeks, then you start to feel that this inner chatter is there, but it is not influencing my mind that much. This inner turmoil is there, but I can somehow deal with it. That ability you are improving. In a way, more and more space is emptied, more and more capacity is emptied in your mind. That's why you feel, although these things are there, I don't feel
so much friction. although these voices are there, I can do my thing and somehow survive. So that's the progress in the practice.
Gradually you feel
these voices are there, this
inner chatter is there, the inner turmoil is there, but their power is reducing,
their energy is reducing.
You can somehow survive better, you can somehow function better. This is a observation for a practitioner. This is a common observation. When you continue for some time,
then you start to feel that less and less friction is there.
Less and less inner chatter is there.
Inner chatter might be there, but still, they are not bothering you so much. The friction might be there, but still, it is not bothering you so much.
So this is a very valuable point in your practice. With repetitive practice, your reality is changing. The way you experience the world, it is changing.
And it is changing for better. More and more capacity is emptied in your mind. More and more
silence
you feel in your mind. Less and less friction you feel in your mind. So in a way, if we come to our initial mention, now it's
like you have been possessed by an entity, right? With the repetitive practice,
you feel that you have a much better reality. You perceive the world in a better way. As a result of the repetitive practice, you feel that possessing entity or the friction is reducing. You feel real peace, real
happiness in your mind.
Earlier, it was just a shift between happiness and unhappiness.
It was just
switching
between happiness and unhappiness. You feel extreme levels of unhappiness. You feel extreme levels of happiness.
This is how it has been. Maybe as long as you remember, this is how it has been. But now you feel more and more silent time is there in your mind.
More and more peace time is there in your mind.
Time to time unhappiness come. Time to time happiness come. But you can feel among these things there is more and more space.
You feel among these things there is more and more silence. Among these things there is more and more peace. So that way
your reality is changing. Otherwise, the way you experience this world, it is changing. Earlier you have been experiencing this world in a different way.
Now you are experiencing this world
in a different way. But if you continue with your practice,
in the future, it will change for better. That's the idea of the practice. That's the promise of the repetitive practice. It will only get better from this if you keep on practicing. You start to feel that there is more silence in your mind. Sometimes the inner chatter is there, sometimes inner turmoil is there, but it is not bothering you so much. The friction is less and less. So those are good enough reasons to continue with your mindfulness practice.
When you continue, you feel that there is more space in your mind. There is more silence in your mind. You feel incremental levels of peace in your mind.
So in a way, this inner chatter, it's there. The inner turmoil is there. But their power is lost. They don't have so much control over your mind. Or they can't possess your mind so much. That's the difference that will happen. Otherwise, some people think with the practice, they can get rid of this inner chatter. They think with the practice,
this friction will disappear. The thoughts will disappear. That's
how some of the people, they think about the practice. They think because of the practice, the thoughts will disappear.
And they ask, how can I work if
the thoughts are not there? How can I function if the thoughts are not there? But that's not how the practice works. Instead, thoughts will be there, but their power will be reduced. They don't occupy so much space in your mind.
You feel incremental levels of silence in between.
You feel incremental
levels of peace in between.
That's how it is. When it is necessary, you can think, you can do, you can reflect. You can talk to other people, you can work with them. It won't be a problem. You can function as usual. But again, you go into your silence. Again, you go into your peace. And you stay there, you be peaceful, you be in silence. Again, when the world demands you, you bring your attention back to the world, you deal with people, you talk with people, you analyze if it is necessary, you think, you reflect.
Again, you go back to your peace. Again, you go back to your silence. This is how the mind works for a practitioner. When it is
necessary, when the world
is demanding, their attention is here.
Their attention is with the world. They think,
they talk, they reflect. But when the world
is not demanding,
they can go back to the peace within. They can go back to the silence within. That's how the mind works. In a way, some moments you are very smart, and some moments you are dumb. You don't know what's happening. You don't know who is talking, because you are with peace within.
You are with silence within.
And when your attention is given, you can analyze properly.
When your attention is given, you can reflect properly. You can do
work successfully. And when your attention is given, the world feels that you are smart.
You deal with them properly. You are accurate. You know what to do.
You know what is necessary. You have all these abilities.
So the world might think
that you are smart. You know how to do. You know how to
deal with people. But again, when you go back to your mind, when your attention is with your peace, when you go back to your silence, the world might feel that you are really stupid because you don't know what's happening. You don't care what's happening. Some of the things you don't hear, some of the things you don't see, they don't concern you. They don't trouble you. So those occasions, the world might feel that this person is dumb. This person is stupid. That's how the world might feel. But that's how the practice works. If you need, you can give attention, you can analyze, you can reflect, you can deal with the world. But again, you go back to your silence. Again, you go back to your peace and you are comfortable there. This is how the mind works. This is how the practitioner's mind works. When necessary, you give attention. When it is not necessary, you are with your peace. When necessary, you are skillful dealing with the world. When necessary, you are with your mind. You don't know what's happening surrounding you. So this way, again and again, the mind works. This way, the practitioner deals with the world. Now you know where the real peace is. Now you know where the real silence is. Now you have a home within your mind. Earlier you were lost because you didn't know your home. You thought this chaos is your home. You thought this possessing entity is your home. But now, with the repetitive practice, with the mindfulness, you know that there is a greater peace within. There is a greater silence within. So this way, you are gradually developing your practice. You are finding your real home within. When you find that real home, then you are happy and peaceful there. You drop into silence there. So this way, you can continue with the practice. And with repetitive practice, you can really experience that your reality is changing. I'm again and again mentioning, pointing out that this is not the real reality. The way you experience the world, it is not the real reality. It is a possessing entity. Seems like you are possessed by an entity and you take that entity to be yourself. Because you don't know a greater truth. You don't know a greater reality. But with repetitive practice, you start to experience the world in a different way. You start to experience that there is a different reality with greater peace, greater happiness in your mind. So that's the idea. You can try and find this home within with repetitive practice. You can try and find this much better reality with repetitive practice. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much thanks to Bhante for explaining the way to understand how to manage the mind while the inner chatter and turmoil is still existing within the mind. The usual way is to get rid of them completely, but Bhante provided a very fresh perspective. Next up, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Lushani to commence the session. I will share the screen for the instructions to beginners on commencing this practice. Let me share the screen.
Namaste, Bhante, and thank you, Namanta. So like Bhante said, it's so important to practice. And so this session is all about developing our practice. So for the beginners, these are the instructions to how to develop your practice. As Bhante mentioned, we can do this with mindful walking and mindful sitting. So if anyone is new to the session today, you can watch this. There are some clips on YouTube. Those are the links. I think Namanth is going to share the links as well. Start the practice with about 10 minutes and then keep increasing as you go on, depending on how you feel. We would usually recommend to keep increasing it so that you do 1 hour each of mindful walking and mindful sitting on a daily basis. It's also good to write your experiences, what you experienced during your practice. This can be put into what we call a reflection report, and you can send it to us. There is a Google form. There's a link on that as well. Or you can email it to beginnersnv@gmail.com as well. And then what we do is we read the reports out at these sessions, and then Bhante will give you further instructions and talk about your practice and help you develop it further. So when you're writing the reflection reports, try to put as much information as possible on sort of what you notice. If you're doing walking practice, you know, texture on the ground, the pressure points on your soles, etc. Or if you're doing a sitting practice, you know, what's prominent, what sensations are prominent, etc. How you see or feel the breath as you inhale and exhale, etc. So that can be the outgoing, ingoing breath where you feel the breath most vividly, most of the time it's at the nostrils or the tip of your nose. So that's the reflection report, and definitely continue your mindful practice, because the only way to develop is to actually practice, and I know that from experience. So with that said, I think we can now move on to the reflection reports that we have received for this week. So we have received three reflection reports. I will read one at a time. The first report is mindfulness during the day. There have been no formal walking or sitting sessions during this week while on holiday. However, was able to bring mindfulness to the fore during time to time. For example, while walking on the beach, naturally the attention moved to the feet movement, feeling of sand underfoot, coolness of waves when it hit the legs, difference of lifting feet while in water to that of while walking on the sand, etc. Rest of the group were walking ahead and I could feel the heat of the sun on the face, sound of waves crashing, seagulls flying around, and people walking the dogs, etc. Another experience where I had mindfulness was when waiting at a very long queue at the immigration at the beginning of this trip. After 7.5 hours flight, everyone looked tired and wanted to get out of the airport soon. But the wait for us was 1.5 hours, and there were more people after us in the queue. Instead of feeling frustrated and annoyed, I used this time to check the posture, how the body weight moved when the queue inched forward, etc. Perhaps it was informal meditation of over 1 hour. Of course, when I return home next week, I will resume formal practice, but this was a good opportunity to know that I can be mindful wherever I am. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. End of the report.
Okay, good to hear that you brought mindfulness along with you when you go on holidays, right? Usually what we do is we keep it at home and we come. But if you are interested, it is very much valuable. Although it's not the formal practice, you can really get use of it. Especially during these difficult times, when you are traveling, when you are waiting in line, you can feel, you can see how the other people are suffering. They create their own hell in their mind and they suffer. Of course, the outside conditions are bad, but they are suffering based on their own level, based on their own scale. So surrounding people, you can feel the various levels of suffering in their mind, right? So what you can do, if you bring your attention to the present moment, if you bring your attention to the current posture, in a way, it is grounding you. The thoughts are there. Earlier, you have been worrying about the long queue. Earlier, you have been worrying about the delay. You were among thoughts, or your mind was lost. It was unconscious. But as soon as you bring your attention to the posture, it grounds you. It is bringing you to the present moment. It is bringing you to here and now. That's the very practice. And when you continue, you feel it's another 1 hour of meditation. Although it's not formal meditation, although it's not so-called meditation, this too is the same practice. This too is the same practice. And that is how we should really train ourselves. Otherwise, we wait for the proper time. We wait for the sitting session. We wait for the walking session. Of course, do your sitting session, do your walking session. That's valuable. But rest of the time, when you are at work, when you deal with your family matters, when you are traveling, when you go on holidays, try to see whether I can continue with mindfulness. Every now and then you feel that the body is there. When you walk, you feel the steps. You feel the surrounding. Maybe if you are walking on a beach, you feel the sand. So that way you can continue. That way you are grounding yourself again and again. You are grounding yourself. You are grounding to the present moment. Instantly you feel that your mind is present. That presence will bring you greater levels of peace. You don't feel it right away, but when you continue for a while, you feel that I don't feel much friction. The other people in the waiting line, they are in hell. 1.5 hours waiting, it feels like almost like hell. But if you know your practice, then you don't have to suffer that much. So you understand we create our own unique hell. It's in our own mind, not in the outside world. That's why even at an airport, you feel different levels of suffering. Some people, they suffer so much, too much, because they are late, they have other things to do, they want to finish these things. So many things are there in their head, right? So they have a totally different levels of suffering. Or in a way, totally different levels of unconsciousness. It's a deep level of unconsciousness. You can't bring them to the present moment. They don't agree. Again and again, they prefer staying at their unique hell. They prefer suffering in a unique way. Right? Some people, although they are irritated, although they are agitated, they don't suffer so much, right? So different levels of suffering you can feel. We create our own hell. In our mind, we create it. So you have to be more attentive to yourself. Am I suffering? If you bring your attention to the body, it is grounding you. Instantly, it will ground you, right? So that helps. Again, after a while, you feel the thoughts are taking control, the worrying is taking control. It says that the worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, right? There's something to do, but it is not getting you anywhere. Again and again, you are in this same loop. Again and again, you are going in this never-ending loop, right? So it gives you something to do. You are worrying, but it is not getting you anywhere. It is not helping. Instead, if you know the practice, you can bring that cycle. You can break that never-ending loop and bring your attention to the present moment. Notice your body and instantly you are grounded. Again, after a while, the mind gets lost. But again, you can bring back. So this way, if you continue, it's meditation. Although you are traveling, you are meditating. Although you are working, you are meditating. Although you are dealing with your family matters, you are meditating. So that's the idea. So again and again, when you go anywhere, bring the practice with you. Don't forget it at home. Just continue like that.
Thank you, Bhante. I will read the second report. Walking meditation. On a recent walking holiday, going from one city to another, was able to use the opportunity to do walking meditation. Noted that walking happens and there is no me walking. Think there was understanding of the statement about walking but going nowhere. Walking between 5 to 10 hours a day for a week was challenging. Going up steep hills and using the opportunity to reflect on the importance of mind and the intention to walk, allowing the body to make the necessary moves. Used watching pains appear and disappear. Remembering all situations are impermanent when the going got tough. It was interesting to note the enjoyment of the beautiful Tuscan countryside was present at the time, but with no attachment to wanting more of the same. Interested to note others in the group wanting to stop, taste wines, different foods, but the mind was able to enjoy these with no desire for more of the same. Sunset sunrise was noted to be glorious, but mind noting seeing many similar ones over the years on the different holidays as well as at home. It also happened to be full moon and similar thoughts arose. After the holiday, much discussion within the group for more of the same, but noted lack of interest despite a lovely holiday. Did note the lack of ability to sit for formal meditation during this period and the disappointment that arose in the mind. However, knew this was a temporary situation and was able to sit again after coming back home. Sitting meditation. After a good period of not sitting formally to meditate, was glad of the opportunity to do so. The mind noted posture of the body, sounds noted breath. Thoughts came and went, mind peaceful. Daily mindfulness. After the holiday, looking after a baby for 4 days gave a perfect opportunity to practice and reflect on the teachings. Observe doing one thing at a time helped to bring the joy arising during the time spent with the baby. The lack of tiredness. Noted changes of mood in the baby. Extension of being happy and then discontent when sleepy, hungry or tired. The 32 parts of the body and constant changes with lack of control over one's body reflected on. Getting opportunity to recite gathas and suttas and reflect on meanings when walking the baby. Great sense of happiness and contentment at the end of the 4 days. With much gratitude to Bhante and organizers. End of the report, Bhante.
Yeah, you can enjoy things. You don't have to close your eyes. You can enjoy the scenery. You can enjoy the world. But without greed, you can enjoy. You don't have to take it home. Right? So that's what our greed is like. We enjoy, but we want to take part of it back home. Right? We try to plan it. How can I take this home? How can I spend more time with this? That's how we do. Now, when we go on Pindapatha, most of the people, they are with their phones. They want to record this, right? So they are doing their own videography while we go on Pindapatha, right? So otherwise you go to a beautiful scenery, beautiful forest or a waterfall, instead of witnessing the incident, instead of witnessing the present moment, you take your phone and you are busy videographing. You are busy recording it. You think that you'll enjoy it some other time. You'll enjoy it later. Now you are busy videographing. Now you are busy recording it. Right? So this is how we work. We are becoming a whole new type of a creature because you can see everywhere we go, you can see people want to record things. They'll witness it later. Currently, they are busy recording it. Currently, they are busy capturing it. That's how we miss the life. They miss to live because they are busy in their mind. They are busy capturing it in their phone. Right, so that's how it is. Instead, you can enjoy the present moment. When there's a beautiful scenery, you don't have to close your eyes. Instead, just witness it. Just enjoy it. And next moment, it'll pass. When that passes, you don't have to worry about it. Right, so that's how you should deal with the world. That's the perfect balance that you should deal with the world. You don't have to close your eyes, but you can't bring it home. You have to leave it there. So witness it, enjoy it, then go away. Go to the next thing, go to the next scenery. Right? So that's how we can really enjoy life. In a way, you are giving your attention, you are witnessing. Then next moment, you have something else. You give your attention to that. Then later, you have something totally different. You give your attention to that. So this is called living. You are living, you are witnessing. You are living your life to the fullest. You have no regrets. You have no worry. Right? So that's how. Even let's say when you deal with a baby, it's a wholesome opportunity to deal with a young children or a baby, right? They are not lost in their mind. Instead, you can see how they function. Sometimes they are happy. Sometimes they are sad. When they are happy, they laugh. When they are sad, they cry. They don't try to please others. They don't try to grab something and, you know, take it or save it for later. Instead, they enjoy things as they come. When they feel happy, they laugh. When they feel sad, they cry. They don't try to please anybody else. That's the proper way of living, right? Even as babies, we too had that quality. But when we grow up, we try to please the parents. We try to please the society. We try to please the teachers. This is how we have created this whole mess in our life. This is how we have created this whole mess in our mind. So you have to be present again and again. You can enjoy life. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to close your eyes. Instead, just enjoy the moment, witness the moment, then go to the next moment. There are no bad moments. Whatever comes, you witness it. You enjoy it. Then you go to the next moment. So this way you have to continue. This is the proper way to live. Right? So when things come, you deal with them. You navigate them. Then you move to the next one. That's how you have to enjoy. That's how you have to deal with this world. So they say deal with this world or consume this world like how a bhikkhu or a monk consumes meals. Right? When a meal is offered, the monk is allowed to consume it. The monk is allowed to enjoy it. But you can't save it for later. Right? It's today's meal, not for tomorrow. Right? So you can't ask for a doggy bag. That's not possible. Right? Instead, what you do, you enjoy, you have your meal, then you just leave it and you go. There's no intention to save it for tomorrow. That's the real idea. Enjoy the world or consume the world. Similar to a monk, how a monk is enjoying or consuming the meals, right? So you enjoy, you did consume, then you leave it. You are not saving it for tomorrow. Buddha says you can go on Pindapatha, you can gather today's lunch, today's meal. And you get that done, you eat your meal, and you can't save anything. Tomorrow it'll be a whole new day. Tomorrow you can go again for another lunch. That's how it is. So this way, if you can enjoy the world, that is the proper way. You don't have to get rid of things. You don't have to avoid things. You are not trying to save things out of greed. Right? So that's how you can enjoy. Just enjoy the scenery and move to the next incident, next situation. Again, try to deal with it, try to navigate it. Then again, move. That way, if you continue, you will find the real way to deal with this world.
Thank you, Bhante. I will read the third report. A close family member announced that they are leaving to pursue full-time practice for a lengthy period of time. This has been a good opportunity to strengthen the practice. When thoughts of anxiety about the future arrives in the mind, the suffering thoughts loses its power and the mind itself is no longer interested in reacting to them, which is wonderful. Sometimes when thoughts are strong, listen to a strong Dhamma talk, and then again the mind is peaceful. At times able to turn the suffering thoughts into compassion, which then relaxes the mind even further. Mind feels like a tuned guitar, seeing through all thoughts and defilements. At school, when teaching, awareness sometimes slips away and notices that mindful energy is not present or weak, but able to relax the body from time to time. Sometimes sharp pains of the legs are observed, but then they too disappear. Notice how less tired the body and mind was by the end of this week. Much merits to you, Bhante, for showing me the path, and much merits to you all. End of the report.
Okay, various things happen, various things come. Sometimes they are difficult to deal with. Of course, that is true, right? So we are not trying to avoid them. We are not trying to avoid the responsibility for them. Instead, we take the responsibility, we deal with them, right? Somehow in your mind, you have to deal with them. You can't postpone it. You can't avoid it. Certain difficulties come, right? So that's how the life is, right? So with the help of the practice, with the power of the practice, we try to deal with it. Some people, some other religions, they try to give this responsibility to somebody else. They say that this is a test from God,
right?
So you try to avoid responsibility and you try to give the responsibility to somebody else. That's how some of the religions, they deal with these matters, right? In a way, it helps. You think that God is testing me or something like that. You somehow deal with it. But in this practice, we say that you are the light, right? You have to deal with it. You have to take the responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility. Lately, I saw this video or something.
A scientist, he was talking about this
concept of God. He was not mentioning about a particular religion. Instead, he was saying all these religions that believes in a God.
In those religions, in those religious texts, he mentions that the God is all-powerful and all-good. That's the idea. All the books, that's a common idea. The God is all-powerful and all-good, right? So that now the
scientist is saying, but when I look at the world, when I see the world, I can't believe that both these statements are true at the same time. Either the God is not all-powerful, either the God is not all good. Why is he saying?
Because you can see
the things that are happening in this world. You can see the murder.
You can see how people are dying out of wars. Right? So all this trouble is there in the world. Either he doesn't have full control. Either he is not all powerful. Either he is not all good. Maybe some evil part is there within him. He's trying to torture people, kill people. So in a way,
he's saying you can't accept both the statements to be true at the same time. Either he's not all powerful, either he's not all good. Right? So when you give the responsibility to somebody else, that's what happens.
You think it's a test. You think
somebody is testing me. But in our practice, we say, you are the light. You have to take the responsibility. You have to develop the ability to deal with these things.
Right? So that's how it is. Now, lately,
a person I know, he came to me and he was saying that he lost interest in meditation. He was saying that he is not meditating, he is going
somewhere else.
What do you say, Bhante? Right? He is asking me. So I told him that you can do whatever you wish. We are not
forcing people to practice.
And he said, if you are willing, you can practice. If you don't like, you can go away. So that person is saying, I am not interested. Well, should I force him?
No, I can't do that.
But I told him, whatever you do, you are responsible.
You have to take the responsibility.
You can't say that because of this I did, I can't take the responsibility. That's not how it
works.
You can stop practicing,
but you have to take the responsibility. So that's the idea of this practice. We are not forcing people. We are not trying to impose this on people. Instead, you are responsible. You are your own light. You are your own savior. That's the way, right? So that's how you develop strength. That's how you assume responsibility for what is happening. Gradually, you are developing this ability. Gradually, you are strengthening yourself. So that's the idea I want to give. Continue this way. Then you become your own light. Then you become your own savior. Otherwise, we look for other people to save us. We look for other people to show us the path. That's not how it works. Instead, you are your own light. You are your own savior. When you continue your practice, you develop that ability more and more.
Thank you, Bhante. We've come to the end of the report reading. And this is an opportunity for you to ask any questions from Bhante. So if you have a question, please raise your Zoom hand. And then we can unmute and then you can ask your question. So give a few seconds for you to raise your Zoom hand if you have any questions. Bhante, it appears that there aren't any questions today. I think everybody is happy with what they're doing.
No questions, so that we can consider it to be a good sign. No doubts, no questions. So the practice is working.
So if there are no questions, then I think we can come to the end of this Q&A session. I would like to thank all of you and much merits to you, Bhante. Thank you so much for your valuable guidance, as always. Sarai. Over to you, Namanta.
Thank you, Lushan, and much merits to you and also much merits to Bhante. Thank you very much. So this is bringing us towards the closing of the session, and I would like to thank all those of you who have sent the reports as well. I would like to associate merits gained in today's session to Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for representing Nisaranane Forest Monastery in today's session, and also for taking the effort and the time out of Bhante's precious schedule to provide us with these great insights on the practice itself. I would also like to associate these merits with the Chief Abbot of the Nisaranane Forest Monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiragam Dhammajiva Mahathera, for insightfully requesting this program to be. And we are also all reaping these great benefits because of that instruction. Furthermore, I would like to associate and share these merits with the wonderful team of organizers of who are behind this program's well-being and continuity. I would like to wish them that wish that their mindfulness journeys will prosper into the future. And I would also like to share these merits with all of you who are joining through the Zoom session and also through the live stream over Facebook. And you are providing us the basis for the continuation of the program. And we wish that all these learnings and merits will allow you to deepen and enhance your practice with time. The program will run on the same time format, that is Sri Lankan time, 1 p.m. on next Saturday as well. And we hope that you all can join this session next Saturday as well on a regular format. Then I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. And I will be closing the Zoom session now. Thank you all.